Okay, praise the Lord. What's the date today? The 5th? 5th of February 2017, year of our Lord. And today I wanted to take a little diversion from the book of John to talk about joy in trials. So I wanted to start in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 5. And we'll just kind of bounce around with different verses and see what the Lord will teach us this morning. Let me pray real quick. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the day. And Lord, just help us to have understanding in the midst of trials, and help us to seek you for joy and comfort in the middle of trials, Lord, that we not become discouraged and shipwreck our faith or turn to the left or the right, Lord, but to know that you are our solid foundation and that in you we can trust. In you we can come to you and find guidance and help in time of need. And so we thank you, Lord, for that. We give you glory for it, for who you are and what you do in our lives to help us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so James chapter 1. Starting in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Other translations will say trials. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Okay, and turn one letter back to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. I'll wait till the pages stop turning. One letter back to... Do you all need a Bible? Your Bible? No? Okay. Starting in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And so, in any trial in life, it's very important for us to understand that if we begin to complain or become bitter in our hearts, then this is not what God has described here in this passage. That we shouldn't complain and get bitter in our hearts, because that kind of ruins the whole process of the trial perfecting our faith. The trial giving us patience to endure through the faith. And so, we, in the trial, take joy that God can do business with every person, no matter where they are, that might be involved in a particular storm in your life or the circumstance in your life. That as you would have a heaviness of heart, you'd have a season of that through trials possibly, or maybe not at all. Maybe you're so mature in the faith that you don't become heavy in such a trial. That the storms of life, you're in the boat and the storms are beating you about and you're fearful that you're going to perish, and you could call upon the Lord Christ at any minute to calm the storm, either in your circumstances or in your heart and mind, and yet you don't, because you'd rather complain about it or you'd rather gripe about it, when you could just take joy, Lord, I know you're in charge. I know that you are sovereign over all the earth and all the people that belong in it, that you created. You're a King of Kings. And so I can rest in that. I can have peace in the middle of the storm. Okay, same letter, 1 Peter chapter 3. I think starting in 13 or 14, let's see here. Yeah, let's just start in verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Verse 14. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Okay, let's go over to chapter 4, 13 and 14. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you, and on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, suffer as a sinner. Don't have suffering and trials in your life because you're living in sin, but suffer because you're doing that which is righteous. And if you do so, then circumstances and people around you that are not wanting to live that way will maybe part of the suffering that you have to endure. Okay, 1 Peter, let's turn back to chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, I think is verse 19. Excuse me. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. And this is what his steps were when he was suffering. Jesus was suffering. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Okay, let's go to the book of Acts, please. Book of Acts, chapter 5.
What was that last verse?
2:18 through 20, I think. 1 Peter 2:18 through 20.
No, Acts chapter 5.
Yeah, now it's Acts chapter 5 and verse 41. Dan, you want to read that nice and loud and clear, please? Acts chapter 5. Give everybody another minute to turn there. Hang on a second, including myself. 5:41. And, yeah, just read 41 and 42. Sorry. 41 and 42.
And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were accounted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen. So they had been brought before the council and told not to speak of Jesus anymore. And they told the council, well, we can't do that. And so the council beat them. And once they had beaten them, they commanded they should speak not in the name of Jesus, let them go. And so they departed, rejoicing, full of joy, that they were beaten. Wow. You ever had joy when somebody beat you? A beating, I'm talking about a beating. These guys would have been beaten with whips and rods. Okay. Acts chapter 7, verse 32. Acts chapter 7. That's not right. Nope, that's not right. Hang on a second. I wrote that down wrong, I guess. 751. Sorry about that. I'm not sure why I got that written there. But let's go to Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5. And we'll read verses 11 to 12. Seth, you want to read that nice and loud, please? Verses 11 and 12 of chapter 5.
Yes. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Yeah, so here we see a rejoicing and being exceedingly glad, because when we are doing things for Christ, we're not doing evil, but we're doing things for the truth, we're doing things for our faith, for Jesus, for His glory, and we are reviled or we are hated because of that, then great is our reward. And so we can know that, well, if we stand for the truth, there will be many that will stand against you, many that will stand against us because of the truth. And so, just let the truth be told, let the truth be known, and let the chips fall where they may, so to speak. And God gets glorified in the truth. You know, as the Bible verse says, the things that men love, God hates. The things that God hate, men love. So all manner of wickedness, mankind love things that God hates. And yet the very things that God loves, prayer, study, preaching, fellowship. You know, men hate that. They hate these things, these spiritual things. Because it calls them to crucify their flesh. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Brother, if you would read that, 2 Corinthians 4, 13. Brother Josh, excuse me. 4:17, excuse me. 2 Corinthians 4:17.
Ending at 17? Or I'll just go 18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Amen. Amen. So, Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I'll read this section here. Alright, here we go. Alright, blessed are you when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner also did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. And many more woes. And it says in verse 27, But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And I guess we'll end that there. So we can see in this beatitude, this recordation of the beatitude, that Jesus is helping us to understand that what doesn't seem understandable in, you know, in earthly terms, in the flesh, what is actually a good thing, that we should leap and be full of joy and thankful. We shouldn't be downcast, but we should be thankful that such that we're even counted worthy to suffer like this, to suffer reproach of men. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. This is the last verse we're going to have on today's teaching. Colossians chapter 1. Too far. All right. Let me just back up to verse 21. And you that were sometimes alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. So here Paul is rejoicing in the sufferings he had for the Colossian church. He is storing up and rejoicing and storing up reward based on how much he suffered. And of course we don't want to inflict suffering on ourselves by bad behavior or by evil, but to stand for the truth, to believe, hope all things, believe all things, as we've been hearing a lot of. So we believe and we hope and we take joy in the sufferings with Christ for the truth. So that's the whole of today's readings. And praise the Lord. I hope it's encouraged you to be rejoicing in this in these circumstances we find ourselves in again. So praise the Lord. Let's rejoice. Thank you, Jesus. Let's be. Praise you, Lord. Yes, we can do it. Praise God. We can do it. Just smile. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord for you, Lord. Amen and amen.